It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Hillary Clinton is back in California, even though her win in the Golden State is not in doubt. She's raising major campaign cash and will do another friendly interview with Ellen DeGeneres to appeal to a daytime TV audience. Yet Clinton and her allies are worried her opponent, Donald Trump, is now running a race to the bottom to suppress voter turnout.
And we cannot let this pessimism, this dark and divisive and dangerous vision of America take hold in anybody's heart.
The daily drip, drip, drip of campaign chairman John Podesta's email leaks are also a cause for concern. One July 2015 email from Podesta expressed anxiety about the criticism Clinton would face for the Iran nuclear deal. He worried about Republican Senator Lindsey Graham's attacks and ripped fellow Democrats, writing, quote, "Generally, we are getting killed with Dems being weasels. Graham very strong on today. What about getting Biden to publicly debate him?" Today, Clinton had one of the Democratic Party's most popular and effective surrogates, First Lady Michelle Obama, on the stump in battleground New Hampshire, attacking Trump for his treatment of women.
This was not just a lewd conversation. This wasn't just locker room banter. This was a powerful individual speaking freely and openly about sexually predatory behavior. While our mothers and grandmothers were often powerless to change their circumstances, today we as women have all the power we need to determine the outcome of this election.
One state the Clinton campaign is closely watching is Florida, where Clinton held a rally on Tuesday. The Real Clear Politics average of recent polls in the Sunshine State reveals Clinton with a 2.7-point edge over Trump when Libertarian Gary Johnson and the Green Party's Jill Stein are included. While Clinton is out west, President Obama made this pitch on the radio in Miami.
The only way it gets in the bag is when Florida puts it in the bag. Once Florida is determined, that can determine the election.
Sandy Rios with you, and it is a wild ride. Thanks for listening. It's Friday, and you know, I don't remember. I've just been thinking about this a lot. The last time I remember being this inundated with information every day, where it feels like the vice grips are getting tighter and tighter, was the Clinton scandals and the election between also Bush and Gore back in the late 90s. That's when I first went on the radio. Every day was a huge challenge to try to take in all the information and deliver it to my audience in the best, most accurate way possible. That you can't repeat it all. So how in the world how do I present this? And Lord, help me to have the right perspective on this and to be honest and open about everything that I'm seeing. And so that's my goal with you. I have to tell you, I've got whiplash because yesterday, during the day, in the morning, Rasmussen reported that after the debate last Sunday night that Donald Trump had moved ahead in the polls pretty significantly, maybe a couple of points. I don't have the numbers in front of me, and why bother? You know, because these polls change every day, so I'm just going to tell you what I remember from it. And then last night I turned on Fox, and also then I heard that Donald Trump was in Florida. He's just drawing incredible crowds. This is from a listener. He said, the West Palm Beach rally was unbelievable. I was in the car and could only hear it. Trump spoke in ways that really moved me. Let's see, very effective. And talked about Independence Day from all Washington insiders, special interests, incompetence, lying, and corruption. He pushed all the right buttons. And so that was from someone who's in the know. Actually, I listened to Rush Limbaugh a little bit yesterday, and he talked about, he played a bit of Trump's speech, and it seemed, you know, and Rasmussen said he'd moved ahead. And then I turned on Fox last night, and Fox had their own poll, and they show that now Trump is losing. He is behind in all the battleground states, so they have declared. And I noticed the setups, even for the pieces, and I ask Adam to pull the setups. You know what I mean? It's when Brett Baer, listen, these are my friends, at least maybe not all of them as close, some better than others, but I couldn't help but notice how Brett set up every piece last night. I couldn't help but think in Special Report how the stage was being set for something. I have noticed even on The Five, you know, it was a time when Eric and Eric Bolling and Kimberly were cheerleaders for Trump, which annoyed the heck out of me because I've been a Cruz fan. I wanted Cruz to prevail. I did. And they were always, you know, bad-mouthing Cruz and trumpeting Trump, but they're sort of quiet now. And Dana's taken the lead, so this is what I see happening, at least on The Five, and then I turn into a Special Report with Brett. And I want you to hear a series of setups. This was the opening for Brett. This was probably the very top of the show, and I just want you to listen to how he says what he says. Here it is.
The new polling comes as Donald Trump continues his unshackled effort to save his embattled campaign. And today, the GOP nominee has come out swinging against the most recent claims of improper behavior toward women. Senior national correspondent John Roberts is with the Trump campaign tonight in Cincinnati.
All right. I think that there's a little bit missing from that. I think there was some at the beginning. But the point is, it's his embattled campaign and then focusing on the women. And that is actually what most of the reports talked about. They didn't really talk about the substance of what Trump said yesterday when he was talking about the corruption. He talked about they even talked about Haiti a little bit, which we talked a great deal about yesterday when I interviewed Bernard Sandik, which I'm going to get to in just a second, a follow-up on that. But then Brett did this setup of Ed Henry covering the Clinton emails, and just the contrast between talking about Donald Trump's failing campaign. I think he started that particular setup with the polls, which I think is what was missing. And he talked about him, you know, falling and every state. That's how he started the broadcast. And he's got a flailing campaign. And then he did this setup for Ed Henry to discuss the email. Let's listen.
We have newly released Clinton campaign emails to tell you about again tonight, and they continue to paint a less than flattering picture of the nominee and her top advisors. Chief National Correspondent Ed Henry is here to take a look.
All right, a less than flattering picture. Listen, it's damning. See, I'm just talking about language. The revelations in the Clinton emails are damning. They're not just less than flattering. But Donald Trump has a flailing, failed campaign. And it's so it's emphasis. It's very subtle, but it is nevertheless significant to people that depend on, of course, Fox for their news. And then Brett, let's see, I believe it's, did we just hear, did I get him out of order, Jeff? Did we do two already? Okay, let's do number two.
Hillary Clinton is on the West Coast tonight making appearances and raising money, but concerns are mounting among her team that Donald Trump might be trying to come out on top by taking the entire race to the gutter. Senior political correspondent Mike Emanuel reports tonight from Beverly Hills.
Okay, so Donald Trump is taking this entire race to the gutter? Are you kidding me? The Clinton campaign has nothing to do with the reports about the whip, nothing to do. And Mrs. Clinton's accusations of to Donald Trump and calling him crazy, really? See, that is an inference, too, that it's Donald Trump that's taking this to the gutter. Well, certainly Donald Trump is taking it because this tape was leaked by the New York Times. It went to the gutter. No, that undercover tape with, is it Billy Bush? I think it's Billy Bush from NBC. So it kind of went to the gutter because that was, I'm sure the Clinton campaign had nothing to do with that, right, Brett? So they didn't take it to the gutter. It's Donald Trump responding to it and talking then about Bill Clinton's sexual rapes, assaults, which if you wanted on the measure of it, are far greater, far worse than kissing and the allegations against Trump. I'm just telling you, why would you call one going to the gutter and not the other? Not defending either of them, but you have to have some sort of discernment here. And of course, it's not the fact that Bill Clinton assault. I mean, it is the fact that he assaulted women. But is the main fact in this race is that Mrs. Clinton tried to destroy those women. She hired private detectives. She personally threatened them. She formed what was called the Bimbro Brigade to destroy them, to destroy their character, their reputations. And she was successful in many, many cases. She destroyed a 13-year-old rape victim, the rapist of whom she was defending. She lashed out at this little girl, accused her of liking older men. She was 13 and a virgin. These are terrible things. And so the misreporting is driving me crazy. And then last, you know, I want to play this last one about Brett set up the panel. This is very short. And again, I only heard it once last night. I asked Adam to pull these. So let's see why I had him pull this one. Let's listen.
Hillary Clinton builds on her lead and Donald Trump fights back against new allegations of sexual assault. The panel discusses when we return.
All right. So see, that's what I'm saying. That's all they talked about, sexual assault. And Donald Trump mentioned it. Yes, he is fighting back, but he talked about a great deal more of substance. But that they don't want to talk about. And then, of course, Michelle Obama comes out. And I want you to hear Michelle Obama. I'll tell you something. I will grant you she is good. She is good. Let's listen to what she had to say.
So while I'd love nothing more than to pretend like this isn't happening and to come out here and do my normal campaign speech, it would be dishonest and disingenuous to me to just move on to the next thing like this was all just a bad dream. This is not something that we can ignore. It's not something we can just sweep under the rug as just another disturbing footnote in a sad election season. Because this was not just a lewd conversation. This wasn't just locker room banter. This was a powerful individual speaking freely and openly about sexually predatory behavior and actually bragging about kissing and groping women, using language so obscene that many of us were worried about our children hearing it when we turn on the TV. And to make matters worse, it now seems very clear that this isn't an isolated incident. It's one of countless examples of how he has treated women his whole life. And I have to tell you that I listen to all of this, and I feel it so personally. The shameful comments about our bodies, the disrespect of our ambitions and intellect, the belief that you can do anything you want to a woman, it is cruel. It's frightening. And the truth is, it hurts. It hurts. It's that feeling of terror and violation that too many women have felt when someone has grabbed them or forced himself on them and they've said no, but he didn't listen.
All right. So, yeah, you know, a lot of that is really true. All of us women can relate to that. The problem is this. Michelle Obama is shocked. She's shocked. She's never heard anything like the stories of women being kissed and groped by Donald Trump. By the way, I don't like those stories. I'm talking about her being, shocked. She's never heard anything like it. When, let's see, who are the best friends of the Obamas who are in the White House all the time? Isn't it Beyonce and Jay-Z? Isn't it Beyonce who just recently wrote a song? Listen, I'm out of the loop on this, but I believe she wrote a song about, you know, men sort of abusing women, and it was celebrated. How many rappers have been in the White House whose lyrics are absolutely profane against women? But Michelle Obama is shocked. I'm going to come back with that because there are a lot more thoughts about that. The thing of it is, she's not shocked. I want to talk to you about what she heard when she was at church with Jeremiah Wright in Chicago. Just many instances. This is disingenuous. And of course, it's an issue that's being used to destroy Donald Trump. And it's evidently being very effective, depending on which polls you want to listen to. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
In April 2013, my daughter committed suicide, and I had spoken with her every morning at 7:30 in the morning, and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself at that time every morning when I knew I should be talking with my daughter on the phone. So I decided to turn on the radio and see if I could find some comfort with a radio program or a station, and I came upon your radio station. And at that time, Dr. James Dobson does his radio show between 7:30 and 8. And it has been such a blessing to me because I now again have something to do at 7:30 in the morning. So you guys have been a real blessing.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 18th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. Patriotism is under fire in Western Michigan. A major high school athletic conference has banned the USA chant, except for after the national anthem. The OK Conference represents 50 schools. They say the letters USA could have different meanings. The athletic conference is also curtailing flags and banners. That decision came after kids at a mostly white school showed up at a game with a Betsy Ross flag and a Donald Trump banner. Fans from a mostly black school accused the students of being racist. Now, one thing I cannot abide is stupidity, and there's a whole mess of it in Western Michigan school system. And I hope every person listening to this commentary shows up at tonight's football games waving Old Glory. And if the spirit moves, I say take in a big gulp of air and belt out a patriotic chant. USA! USA! I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. Just a personal note, let me again say that for those of you that are in the Grand Rapids area, I'll be there a week from tonight. I'll be speaking and then... But the Friday night is already filled, and Frank Gaffney, my good friend who you hear every morning on this show, will be speaking alongside me. We'll be talking about the war is real and the war is now. But on Saturday morning on the campus of Calvin College in Prince Conference Center, we'll be there. And if you would like to come, we'd love to see you. You can go to AmericanDecency.org, AmericanDecency.org, or you can call 231-924-4050, and just let them know you want to come and get some more information. AmericanDecency.org or 231-924-4050. And then for those of you in Houston, October the 28th and 29th, I will be down there hosting the Stand for Truth conference, which will feature lots of people that are talking about the LGBT, gay rights, transgender, all of that. Experts, I don't have the names in front of me, but people that you will know, Michael Brown will be there, tons of people will be there, and it will be a really, insightful. Dave Welch, one of the Houston Five pastors, will be there. So I hope that you'll come. Just go on the website. It's Stand for Truth. Stand for Truth, and you can sign up and join us for that. Now, again, Frank Gaffney will be with me a week from tonight and tomorrow morning, a week from tomorrow morning in Grand Rapids on the campus of Calvin College, and we'd love to see you. It's always wonderful to meet you face-to-face and to talk to you a little bit. Now, I want to go back. We are going to open the phone lines, but I have a few more things to tell you. And before I do that, something else. Michelle Obama, you know, gave her a speech where she was, you know, nearly weeping. She was so shocked. She had shaken her to her core, the things that she heard about these women, accusations to Donald Trump. You know, now let me just say this. I doubt that Donald Trump has never done anything untoward toward any woman. I don't doubt somewhere along the way he may have touched inappropriately or kissed inappropriately women. So I actually feel that he should not have said yesterday, which I think he did say, all of these allegations against me are false. That's probably false. That's probably false. But I would say that probably some of these are false. And these, you know, did you, any of you see the woman? There was one woman who was all over the place. I wish I had the clip. You know, it's like, really? This happened like 30 years ago on first class on a plane, she said. And I thought I smelled something really fishy with that story. But the others, I feel that there's probably some truth to some of this. But I just need to make that clear. Listen, I try to be honest with you in every way that I possibly can. And so, but we're talking about, let me just drop this in before I go back to this dirty, low-down garbage. The things that are at stake are still at stake. You know, the Republic hinges on the decision we make. It doesn't hinge on the bad behavior of Donald Trump. It does hinge on the evil behavior of Mrs. Clinton, of the fact that she is an enemy of the faith. She has said that deeply held religious beliefs are going to have to be changed. There will be no criticism of Islam if she has her way. There will be abortion for all 9 months for any reason. Crisis pregnancy centers better run for the hills. And so must pastors. I'm telling you, people who want to have a right to bear arms and believe they have a Second Amendment right better run for the hills. We are the IRS, the FBI, which has already been corrupted. Those agencies will be turned against. The Clintons are known for going after their enemies. There are issues at stake, financial issues. There are, Mrs. Clinton wants open borders. She wants a 500% increase in Muslim immigration, unvetted. Shall I go on? That's what's at stake. So, yeah, I wish Donald Trump were a Sunday school teacher in good standing, but he's not. And so, but that's the choice that we have, and that's the choice that we have to make. And so I'm going to get into some of the email in a second because some of you are still upset with me for supporting him on any level, and we'll get to that. But I want to talk about Michelle Obama again because I want to finish this thought. She's, you know, shocked. She's shaken to her core about these stories about Donald Trump. She's never heard anything like it. And she practically wept. And I said to you before the break, interesting to me that she had Beyonce and Jay-Z all the time. They're very good friends. And Beyonce has written the most vulgar lyrics herself, celebrating sort of the abuse of men to women. Not in all of them. I think she has a recent song. Listen, I'm not an expert on Beyonce's music. I think she has a recent one where she talks about maybe some abuse of her father. I think that's controversial. But before that, I remember this past year, she did one about men abusing women and sort of it was bizarre, like enjoying being subdued. So, but I wonder if that upset Michelle or shocked or made her cry. I wonder if Michelle was shocked or if it made her cry. This is so gross. I can't even tell you the words, but have you seen the video Barack Obama on a plane when he was running for president in 2008? What he did? How the reporters responded? I'm not going to tell you, but it is out there. And I wonder if that has shocked her in any way. I'm just, I'm just wondering, or made her cry. And then, of course, we could talk about her pastor, Jeremiah Wright, who let's just go back in time. Remember, they attended that church for 20 plus years in Chicago. And I want you to hear a little bit of a clip of Jeremiah Wright talking about Bill Clinton. Let's listen.
Throw your head back and say Jesus.
Sunday sermons at the Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago come with abundant praise of God and recently praise of 20-year congregant Illinois Senator Barack Obama.
There is a man here who can take this country in a new direction.
On Christmas, Reverend Jeremiah Wright tried to compare Obama's upbringing to Jesus at the hands of the Romans.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country and a culture that is controlled by rich white people. Hillary can never know that. Hillary ain't never been called a nigger.
Like many who wear the cloth, Reverend Wright preaches that he follows the righteous path.
Hillary is married to Bill, and Bill have been good to us. No, he ain't. Bill did us just like he did Monica Lewinsky. He was riding dirty.
All right, so Michelle sat there for 20 years listening to that, but she is just shaken to the core and in tears about all these conversations about she's never heard a man talk like this. She's just shocked. You know, and I have to tell you something I know. I never thought I'd ever say this to you, but I have to tell you because I am from Chicago. Reverend Jeremiah Wright had a gay men's club in his church. He called it the Down Low Club. His choir director was part of it. And Dr. Wright, Jeremiah Wright, used to arrange marriages between compliant black women and gay men to give cover, like be the beard, to these gay men. You can look this up, the Down Low Club, and I'm going to not take it any further than that. That's where we are with this, ladies and gentlemen. So don't tell me that Michelle Obama is just so upset. She's never heard anything like that. Please. So I have this email from Lucas. He says, where did the left suddenly get so much moral standard when they've been busily eroding the moral standard of the nation for 40 years? Well, I'll tell you, Lucas, it's really easy to explain. It's one of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Mrs. Clinton wrote her master's thesis, was a personal student of Saul Alinsky, and Barack Obama was also a student of Saul Alinsky after he died of Alinsky's teachings. And one of the rules for radicals is that we ensnare, entrap, destroy people by using their own standards against them. Republicans allegedly believe in moral standards, believe in families, believe in marriage between one man and a woman. We used to, yeah. And so we catch them in their own snare, you know, use their own standards against them. We don't have any standards. Luckily, we don't have to worry about that stuff, you know, because we have like Ted Kennedy, who, by the way, was a hero to Michelle Obama. He was her hero. Do you know what Ted Kennedy did? Anybody remember the bridge where he took this young girl? He was a married man, an older man. They went to a drunken party in Massachusetts when he was still a senator. And there was all the men were married, and all the girls were in their 20s. And so Ted Kennedy left early with Mary Jo Kopechne. There's a lot of detail on this. Mary Jo Kopechne was, I don't know, they had a name for these girls. So he left with her. And they drove and they pulled off in a lane and some officer tried to find them and they drove off quickly. It's just an amazing story. You can look this up. WikiLeaks actually has a really accurate account of this. WikiLeaks. I didn't mean that. Wikipedia has an accurate account. So somehow Edward Kennedy ended up driving off the pier. Mary Jo Kopechne, the car goes down to the bottom, turns upside down, and Edward Kennedy swims to safety, but doesn't even report the accident until at least 24 hours later. Well, but I guess Mrs. Obama is not, she's not, I wonder if she cried about that. Or, you know, when she understood who her dearly beloved mentor, loving Edward Kennedy friend was, if that was shocking to her. Listen, I could do the whole show ranting on this. This makes me furious. Now, and speaking of Saul Alinsky, could I also say that one of the things that Saul Alinsky taught was gangster. He got involved with Chicago mob, with Al Capone. and he learned to do illegal acts to advance the cause, whatever it took. It's a very sordid story. And so when I told you yesterday the story of the Clinton Foundation and how they have really raped the nation of Haiti, giving the gold mine to her brother, her own brother, to Mrs. Clinton's brother, they gave the rights to the gold mine. They gave the phone company rights to a personal friend of Bill Clinton and used federal dollars, your tax dollars, to purchase it. And now they've made money. He's made money hand over fist. And then he turned around, this friend whose name now in this moment escapes me, turned around and gave millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. Clinton Foundation, it was all, it is a scam. I have, it's a criminal enterprise, a la Saul Alinsky. It's a criminal enterprise. I want to, I'm going to get sidetracked if I do that. If you did not hear the interview that I did with Haitian former Senate president from Haiti, Bernard Sandourique, please go on our podcast and listen to it. We did it yesterday. You can go on Facebook and listen to it. It just gives the overview of what the Clinton Foundation has done to Haiti. And by the way, this morning in my inbox, I was told that a left-wing liberal outlet is now reporting that they did the same thing in Colombia. And it gives great detail. Let's see, I have so many things in my hands. Here it is. Many of the Colombian success stories tattered on the foundation's website, the ones specific enough for us to track down, were critical about the foundation's effect on their lives. Labor leaders and progressive activists say foundation programs caused environmental harm, displaced indigenous people, and that it concentrated a larger share of Colombia's oil and natural gas reserves in the hands of GUSTRA, who was involved in a now bankrupt oil company that worked closely with the Clinton Foundation, which used the Colombian military, a 1984-style surveillance program, to smash a strike by its workers. It was a shocking record that belies the progressive principles on which the Clintons had based their political dynasty and philanthropy, embodied in the Clinton Foundation's advertising copy, "Everyone deserves a chance to succeed." So they did in Colombia. This is what a union official from Colombia said. They are doing nothing for workers. I don't even know what they're doing for this country other than exploiting poverty and extracting money. All right, so don't think it's an isolated incident in Haiti. And that's what we have to be talking about. This whole business with women, the thing about the women with Bill Clinton is that Hillary is supposed to be such a champion for women, and yet she has led the charge in destroying so many women's lives. This has to be told. And it's left to some of us to tell it. I'm going to go to the phones in just a second. I see many of you calling, even though I didn't give the number. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm going to read an email, then I'm going to take a break, then I'm going to come back to your phone calls. This is from Josh. He says, "I keep wondering when you'll rethink your support of Donald Trump. He seems to embody so much of what you ought to despise in a political candidate. His personal and professional values clearly do not align with your worldview or those of the American Family Association. He has shown an enormous capacity to lie, and despite his protestations otherwise, he has done so far more than Hillary has." Okay, so Josh, yeah, I don't support his behavior, not his past behavior. He's lied more often than Hillary has. And he gives us his source, PolitiFact, which is, of course, you know, not a good source, Josh, but I would argue that you got that one wrong. He also says, "He's shown great contempt for his supporters. It's clear he does not have a religious bone in his body. He'll meet with evangelical leaders and do what he has to get the votes." I said, "Really? You know this, Josh?" Because I actually know evangelical leaders who are meeting with him, and they tell a different story, so I'm not sure you are in a position to know that. I think I've already explained why I think Clinton is a dangerous choice. You say I agree with her, disagree with her on some issues. I agree with her, disagree with her on, I vehemently disagree with her on almost every single issue. She is corrupt and vile and evil, and that's the reason I say the things I say. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina, and then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others, and that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after a disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we notice with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
Are you tired of being called intolerant by people who won't tolerate Christianity? So is Dr. David Jeremiah.
The secularists have moved into positions of power and influence, and court judgments against Christians who practice their faith are going to accelerate, and we need to be prepared for it.
David shares the increase of intolerance on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Sunday morning at 7 Central on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Last week in the vice presidential debate, Mike Pence spoke passionately about the horror of partial birth abortion. As Pence stated, "But what I can't understand is with Hillary Clinton and now Senator Kaine at her side, to support a practice like partial birth abortion, the very idea that a child that is almost born into the world could still have their life taken from them is just anathema to me," unquote. Yet not only does Hillary Clinton oppose any restrictions on the murder of the unborn, she also thinks taxpayers should be forced to pay for it, vowing to repeal the Hyde Amendment. For 40 years, the Hyde Amendment has prohibited the use of tax dollars to fund abortion through Medicaid, saving 2 million lives. Elections have consequences. Will our culture continue down the path of death, or will we choose life? This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The United Nations yesterday unanimously elected a new leader. He's a prominent socialist with a record of mismanagement and doing the bidding of Islamists. Antonio Guterres, thus, is a perfect misfit for the institution corrupt leftists and totalitarians use to advance a transnational agenda that in practice furthers Islamic supremacism, among other dangerous ideologies. Claudia Rosette is the investigative reporter who has done more than anyone to document the UN's systemic dysfunction and various misdeeds. She noted recently at PJ Media that for 6 years Guterres ran the Socialist International, and for 10 years the UN's refugee programs. In these capacities, he long promoted under the guise of democratic socialism, Bernie Sanders-style anti-Americanism, and worked with those trying to import more jihadists into the United States. Expect more of the same and worse from Secretary General Antonio Guterres. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We will survive Hillary Clinton because she's an outside force. She's an outside force. You don't survive what's happening right now. In our churches alone, you don't survive because the poison has come inside our churches. Our churches are saying, dismiss what he just did. Dismiss that. Okay, sure, he's never asked for forgiveness. Yes, he calls the sacrament a cracker. Yes, he brags about sleeping with a married woman. Yes, but this is more important. The church does not survive. The church oppression. Let them take away our tax status. Let them shut us down. Tell us we can't meet. Christianity is thriving in China because it's banned. Here, it's dying because it's everywhere and it stands for nothing. Mm. We survive if the force is outside. We don't survive if the force is in.
All right, that was Glenn Beck. I just wanted to play that. I agree with the last part of what he said. Absolutely, the church will survive, just like the church in China has survived, and we will thrive. The body of Christ will survive whatever happens. But I don't agree that Christians are forced to, that they have to have some sort of a litmus test for moral purity. I wish we could have. In an election where that's possible, I am all in favor. But in an election where that's not a choice, then we have to make hard choices. And I am not with Glenn when he says, you know, he is adamantly against Donald Trump. He thinks it's terrible. In fact, I've got an email here from Marie I want to read. Please do not have the disgrace of supporting Trump on Monday morning, giving excuses and still telling us to vote for him. We knew this was coming and we warned people. But you were naive enough to think that the presence of some deceived evangelicals in the campaign would change things. Trump is an unrepentant sinner. Until God takes hold of him and he truly repents, there's no hope for him or any other sinner. I do not see that happen in such a way that it would bring change for America. We have lost this election because God has judged America. Please do not try to convince us that he's a valid choice. We have none in this election if we abide in Christ. And Marie, I just have a caution for you. You know, we can disagree about this, and this goes for all of us, but I would be very careful, and that caution goes for myself too, in assessing the spiritual condition of others based on where they stand on this. I recognize that many Christians feel they just can't vote for someone like Donald Trump. I am not at that camp. I think that it is... I'm not voting for him because some deceived evangelicals are around him. That has never been my motive. I'm voting for him because I believe that he is the only person in this campaign who even has a modicum, and he has a strong modicum because I know a lot of people that surround him, and they're not all evangelicals. I know national security experts. I know tons of people who have his ear, who have great policies on immigration and who are picking judges for him. I know these people. I trust them. He has a lot of great people around him. So that's why I have hope with his nomination, despite these things, because we don't have the choice of, we're not picking a deacon or an elder or a pastor. In this race, we are picking the person who will do what is best for our country and future generations. So I think you have to be very careful trying to make moral judgments, even about him. You say Trump is an unrepentant sinner. I've had people who I do know tell me that's not true. And I think I've seen some signs of it speaking. So I think, Marie, you better be careful how you assess this. I think God's pretty merciful. We've seen him use really terrible people, including you and me, to do his work. So that's my view on that. All right, I need to get to the phones. I apologize for being so late. Vicki in Texas. Good morning, Vicki. How are you?
Oh, I am great, but I almost drove off the road yelling at Michelle Obama. She's offended by all these things, and yet she's willing to let her children go into a bathroom or a dressing room with a man. I mean, that's what it's coming to. I had to pull over the car. I was so upset.
That's true. She thinks that's a great idea, these open bathrooms.
Yeah. And on top of that, these people that say never Trump will vote for anyone else. It's going to be just like when Perot ran. It's going to be a vote for Hillary. If they don't vote for Trump, they're voting for Hillary. Yeah. It doesn't matter who they vote, even if they say how much to vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Thank you. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, Vicki, very good. And she's right about that. Jim in Mississippi. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Sandin. I won't be long. Listen, the Republicans, they don't have no backbone. They will not stand up for what's right. And Obama is out blasting them.
and they won't stand up. I mean, it's just disgraceful, really. It just really shows us where we're at. And they're trying to cover their own bankroll is what it is. It's shameful. And people that if you can't see what's happening, you are shameful. Just see what's happening. I mean, come on. If Trump was given $1 million and no matter, and that money is from his business, I wonder if you would not take it just because you heard some rumor or whatever about him. No, you would be out there taking that money.
Well, that's an interesting point, Jim. I don't know. I just, I have to say, you know, it's hard. I confess to all of you that my emotions are going all around the clock. I'm having trouble sleeping at night because I know, yeah, where is my trust in God? I do trust God. I was actually watching A Tale of Two Cities. I watch these old movies just to, I think, sometimes they might give my brain a rest. But in Tale of Two Cities, one of the main characters is an alcoholic. And he has sort of, he goes into church and he feels like he's so bitter and he feels like his life is just worthless. And he goes into a church and there's Joy to the World is being sung. It's Christmas time and Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And he's being very moved by the Spirit in this movie. And it was wonderful because I just stopped and prayed. I said, Lord, thank you for speaking to me and reminding me of what you can do in people's lives, of what you've done in my life, of reminding me of the core thing here that I must not forget in spite of the fights that we're facing right now, and give us strength now as we turn our eyes back to the things we must face in this world. We are in this world, not of it. But that doesn't mean we can absent ourselves from our responsibility. We can't. So we got to find that balance. Jim, it's great to hear from you. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jill in Texas. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me, Sandy.
My pleasure.
I listen to you every morning, and it's a breath of fresh air.
Thank you. So what's on your mind?
You know, I agree with you. I am so disappointed in the Republican Party and the RNC and just not standing behind, knowing what we will get, knowing how much this country is going to change, you know, if Hillary gets elected. It just blows my mind. It takes me back to, you know, I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, even if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. And so there are so many people that are being deceived right now. And, you know, I certainly don't agree with what Donald Trump has said at all. I have four brothers, and from the age of 13, 14 years old, if any man can say that they have never engaged in a conversation like this with somebody, I mean, they're just lying. At least 90% of people.
Well, Jill, you know what? Hey, wait, hang on a second. I actually think that today's young men may not know anything about this. I tell you, in D.C., the men have become so feminized. It is amazing. You can see it. My husband and I talk about, we go back to Chicago, which is our hometown. It's like, oh, this is where real men still live. I know there are lots of those still in Texas too, but honestly, here in D.C., they are so de-masculinized. That's a new word. It's just a shocking thing. So I'm not sure they do know. And the girls, it's like, you know, looking at them funny is called sexual assault now. So they are so hyper. Right. It's such an immoral time in which we live. In terms of the, you know what I'm saying, there are no barriers. Girls are living with boys. They want to shut down the barriers in bathrooms, and yet they're so shocked
right.
that some
right.
guy should,
well,
you know.
Well, also, you know, the narrative, you know, about being a woman, you know, instead of being what it really was, and that was two men, you know, one-upping each other. I mean, that kind of talk, it wasn't even about the women, yeah. or one particular one. It's about men and their ego and wanting each other.
The alpha, the alpha male thing. The alpha male thing. But see, I think today's kids can't. I don't think they get that, and that's probably what's playing into this too. All right, Jill. You know, I got to move on, but thanks. You know, this also reminds me. Okay, sorry. Tale of Two Cities was also the story of the French Revolution. And it was a real good, like, portrait of the French aristocracy. and their gluttony and their indulgence and their love of power and their refusal to listen to the people. And it reminded me so much of what I see in D.C. You know, some things never change. All right, let's go to Laura Lee in Oklahoma. Hi, Laura Lee. Good morning. Mm-hmm. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I was listening very intently to your program yesterday and just got me just completely riled up. I'm going to tell you, I have actually been to Haiti. I went a few years ago with my daughter on a mission trip because the pastor, worship pastor and his wife and children moved there to do mission work, and we kind of went to help them get settled. And I will tell you that to say that I was blown away or shocked, there aren't words to describe what kind of condition the people of Haiti live in. It is beyond your comprehension. It's beyond your imagination, though, the amount of starvation, the amount of children that aren't clothed, the things that they would call a home that we would see piled up in a pile somewhere, calling it junk.
Yep.
It's horrible, absolutely horrible. The
yeah.
lack of
all right. So Laura Lee, I have to move you along a little bit because we have to hurry. But in fact, you know, remember Bernard said yesterday the cholera. And the point is that the Bill Clinton was in charge of the relief efforts after the earthquake of 2010, and instead of the money going into Haiti, it left them in worse condition than ever. And that's what you saw.
Yes, and this is what alarms me, is when they speak and they talk, I think what we are having our heads in the sand about is until America looks like Haiti, they're not going to be happy, because the way they live life, they are the elitists, the supremacists, the people who have the power. They are, you spoke of the French aristocrats being gluttonous. This is what the Clintons are. They are gluttons for power and money. And until they have it all and nobody else has anything, they're not going to be satisfied. And that is what they're going to put in the White House, giving her more power and more ability to usher that in sooner.
Yep.
It's alarming.
It's alarming. It's alarming. It will be a criminal enterprise, and I don't think we'll ever, honestly, I don't think we'll ever pull it back. I'm with Glenn Beck. The church will stand, of course. Jesus cannot be overcome by this. But we still have to do what we can. I think of my own children. I think, you know, I wonder if we will, I'll have anything to give to my son. Then will he have anything to give to his children? And will they live in fear because of their beliefs in Christ and their beliefs in the moral principles? What are we giving our kids? And this is why we must fight the way we're fighting. Laura Lee, thanks for your personal testimony on this. Let's go to Todd. You have the last word, and it has to be quick. Good morning.
Yes, the media is going to pick the president. We keep listening to the media. It's a mind thing. People need to wake up. I mean, don't let the media pick the president. It's a personal thing. You need to get in that booth and vote your personal issue. I mean, your values, really. And that's what you need to vote. And it's a shame that Trump is showing how biased the media is. And if anything, Bernie Sanders listeners ought to listen to what Trump is saying. Thank you, Sandy.
See you later. You're welcome, Todd. Thank you for that. And the WikiLeaks are showing the disgraceful way the Clinton operation treated Bernie Sanders. You know, it was so stacked against him. It's amazing he did as well as he did. And of course, we know now that they don't have respect for people, for the American people. We are the deplorables, and this will be our future. I'm with Todd. We need to don't listen to the polls. Don't listen to me when I'm down. You know, just keep fighting that good fight. And Marie, even I'm hoping that you will do what you can to stop Hillary Clinton, knowing what you know. And those of you who feel the way she does, I hope Glenn Beck will go into that booth and finally understand we have to stop this for the sake of our children. Have a great weekend, and don't forget to worship.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.